right, so we are in week three of our Back to Basics series. First one, we talked about prayer. Anybody remember week two? It was last week. I'm testing you here. Nobody? What? The Word. Yeah, Scripture. And then this week, if you didn't catch it at the very end, this week's going to be about confession. That's a word that gets thrown around a lot in church. We talk about confession, but, you know, it's usually confession between us and God, right? We talk about that a lot. We don't really talk about, like, confession amongst each other as much. You know, and I know the word confession means a lot of different things for different people, especially if depending on the traditions that you grow up in. You know, I have friends that were Catholic, and they view confession a certain way. Well, they've changed over the years, but they kind of had this idea of confession that you go to the priest, and there's all these things about it. And then you know, I grew up with not confessing anything because I was, you know, agnostic, atheist kind of thing. Confession, not going to do that. What's the point? And then, you know, so it really does affect us, you know, in different ways and kind of our mindset. And of course, you know, you see politicians and they never confess anything. So you just see it in different ways. You just, you know, different experiences. And, many of us see confession or lack of confession in the ways we observe it played out in the world as we see things. You know, it's important that we balance what we've seen, heard, and learned through experience, but also what Scripture says about it. You know, we talked about prayer, we talked about Scripture. Now we're talking about kind of the application of confession in our daily lives. You know, thankfully in this case, confession has some beautiful biblical truths and some instruction behind it. There is some Scripture and tells us very specifically in how we should approach this idea of confession. You know, confession is a very fundamental, basic part of Christian faith. It's some things are obvious. You know, when we talk about prayer, we talk about reading the Bible, attending church. It's all normal stuff. But also, there's a lot of Scripture that support this daily activity of confession. And we're gonna dissect that a little bit today. We're gonna talk about that. And there's some really interesting Scripture to talk about it, but also how important it is in our lives. When it comes to confession, it doesn't seem to be discussed as something that should be done as often as other things. As we think about it, it feels like, you know, we even when I talked about Scripture last week, you know, it was like, you know, pick this up. And I went in 45 minutes on how important it is to read Scripture. But, you know, when it comes to confession, we don't really dedicate that much time to it. You know, there's something divinely powerful in the practice of confession. And confession, as we'll learn about, brings forth both healing and liberty. Or it's liberating. So let's take a look at you know, confession defined. Let's talk a little bit about what it means. And of course, there's the, you know, confession when you think about a police officer or something or court, and, you know, there's this confession. It means to, you know, admit to the crime. It's, you know, hey, we'll give you an easier sentence if you just admit it. And okay, I'll write this confession. And there's the kind of the typical response, you know, typical definition. But then we have an admission or acknowledgement of that one has done something that one has, there's a lot of ones in that, one as ashamed of or embarrassed at. So basically what that's talking about is more that interpersonal communication stuff. You know, if I offend somebody, if I tick off Dan or my wife or something, or I do something maybe embarrassing, I embarrass myself in some way, it's owning that, it's confessing to it. You know, acknowledging or admitting that we've done something that maybe I'm ashamed of. And that's another form of confession. You know, and that could be such a wide range. It could be so small that we could be kind of stubborn and prideful and not admit our faults. You know, I was thinking about this today. And so as I hurt my knee right in the stairs right here And I was walking up, and Byron was standing there, and we're I'm standing there for a second on like the second step or something like that, and all of a sudden I heard a pop in my knee, and I buckled over and fell to my hands, and I cussed, and I know, I'm confessing here. You're not supposed to laugh at confessions. Thank you for confessing that. But so I was like, ow, you know, I kind of hobbled up, and I'm holding on to, hobbled over to the railing, and I told Byron, I said, you know, I said I cussed, and I said something about it being confession today, you know, and so it's like, you know, that was fitting. I think maybe God will use this as an opportunity, but yeah, I dropped the bomb, and it hurt. And that's not to, I'm not going to share or confess all the other things I thought of a few times since I've been dealing with this morning. So, you know what? That's confession. It's acknowledging that one has done something that maybe they're ashamed of or maybe a little embarrassed by, you know. That's life. That's another kind of confession. And then, of course, there's the admission of sins and wrongdoings with the motive to be absolved or forgiven. And that's where we talk about in Scripture and in the Bible of, you know, God, I'm asking for forgiveness for very specific things. Or maybe it's the first time I'm coming to Christ and I'm making that decision to confess and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I want you in my life. I really want to follow you. I just don't know how, but I do believe Jesus died on the cross, and I do believe that you are God in the flesh, and I do believe that you're our Savior. And so making that confession and acknowledging, and that's admission of our sins and the wrongdoings with the hope and desire of being forgiven by Christ. And so that's more the biblical view that we're going to talk about. We're actually going to talk about this one and this one quite a bit today. But you know, why is it so hard to confess sometimes? It could be such a daunting task. Why don't we just confess all the time? You know, I mean, why don't we just confess with each other every day? We're, oh, hey, you know, let's have a dirty laundry moment each Sunday morning during prayer and worship, you know. Everybody just kind of comes up and we get to air out our dirty laundry. Why is it so hard? Well, there's a few reasons, and one of them, you know, the top one is pride. You know, we don't want to air out our dirty laundry. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to sit there and go, you know, what are these people gonna, you know, say? You know, we don't want to admit our brokenness. It's hard. You know, and that, you know, earlier somebody asked me if I wanted some Tylenol and stuff. I'm like, no, I'll just suck it up. And that's really just pride. It's not willing to admit my weakness until about the third or fourth person. I think it was the fourth person. Thank you, Nancy, for getting me some pain relief. But, you know, it was, you know, I said no to Jenny like, a few times. And I think Byron asked me. And so that's pride. That's stubborn pride. But of course, you know, there's, you know, sin and sin in our lives, and we sit there and we know what that sin is, and we don't want to share that, fear of shame or fear of judgment. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, but you know, confession confronts our own pride and sin and shame and our self-image, because it's opening us up. It's putting that out there, and it confronts us and makes us face the reality of what we've done or what we do, and it needs humility in there. And see, you know, when we confess, it does open us up to rebuke. It opens us up to criticism, you know, vulnerability. You know, I mean, if let's say, you know, you have something that you're really ashamed of, and it takes it's difficult to open up and just share transparently and say, hey, church, I need help. Or, hey, friend, I'm really struggling with this, and I don't know why. Now we're vulnerable. Now we open ourselves up to judgment. We open ourselves up to criticism or rebuke. It opens us up to other people, giving us a hard time, maybe judgment and what we've done. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You should just, you know, I open myself up and you know, people judge and like, oh my gosh, that pastor, I can't believe he dropped the F-bomb outside or whatever it may have been. Or, you know, I can't believe that. And I'll never go back to that church, and judgment will happen. And so this whole idea of confession, we are taught to kind of hold that in. And also, I mean, and I didn't put this in my notes, but I was just thinking, like, even at work or in the community, we don't want to share or be transparent and open about our mistakes and our things, you know, a confession, just, oh yeah, I screwed up last week, I did this, or whatever, you know. Being that transparent, it goes around the community, and we're afraid of a bad reputation, or all kinds of, I mean, you could sit here for an hour and just think of different things. If you would just put yourself in a moment where you just completely were transparent with a few people, what the chain of events could happen. And there's a lot. And I think that's the reason why we hold back. Our culture tells us to hold it back, you know. Also, we also worry about those opportunities of, like, how are people going to respond? Are they going to be judgmental and all that? Or are they going to be loving and caring and accepting? And that's a real fear for people. See, and when you do something wrong, there's typically three responses or three reactions. Okay, if you do something wrong, the first thing, you know, people tend to do is we hide what we have done. We tend to hide that. It's like, you know, I swear I said shoot instead of the other word. That was not me. I did not do that, you know. And it's like denial. You just want to kind of hide these things. And, you know, and then if somebody says, hey, Byron says, hey, I heard you say that. Nope, I didn't do that. I did not do that. You heard it wrong. You need hearing aids, dude. You know, and it's like you just kind of deny it. You don't want to face it. You just want to, you know, hide what you've done and keep it to yourself. You don't share it with anybody. And that causes some problems in our lives when we do that, when we have nobody to share our struggles with or our sins with. The next is that we confess what we have done. Just straight out say, yep, I hurt my knee this morning. I fell down and I dropped a few colorful words or whatever happened, and then just own it. You know, but that was kind of a minor thing. But what if there's something deeper in life, you know, a little deeper, a little bit more secretive, you know? And we you know, we just confess what it is and just don't care and just move on. And that's one way of handling it. You know, of course, there's the healthy way of just going to a friend and saying, hey, I've sinned, and that's the right way. But then there's also a partial confession. This is the one I see the most of. They you know, a partial confession is they tell kind of the truth, but it's only part of it. It's not the whole extent. Teenagers are masters at this. Teenaged about 25. I'm kidding. You know, it's a partial truth. It's like we have this appearance of telling the truth, of telling confession, but yet at the same time, we withhold, like, the big stuff. And, wow, I just, you know, it was only a candy bar I stole. But the reality is you actually, you know, robbed the till at a store. It's like, you know, you minimize it. You kind of, you know, I know that's an extreme example, and I'm kind of using that as an example. But it's like, even like as we go through life and we do sins, it's like we kind of reduce it and only tell partial stories. I'm going to single out my kids for a minute. Jacob here reminds me a lot of my oldest, because he's a master at telling just kind of half the story. Isaiah and him will get in an argument. And he'll come in, Dad, and he'll go and he'll lay it out. But it's only part of the truth. He doesn't tell me that he's been doing little, you know, poking him in the ribs or something, a little agitations to get him to yell and scream. He doesn't tell me that part. Right, Jacob? He doesn't tell me the whole story. It's just a partial truth. And that's what we tend to do. We you know, have this projection of who we are is like, oh, I just say it how it is. I just say what I think. But the truth is that so many of us do only part of that, with this appearance of being totally honest and brutally honest and things like that. You know, you admit what's wrong, but you don't admit the full extent of it. I want to share with you a story from this book, How to Be Born Again by Billy Graham. It says, several years ago, I was to be interviewed at my home for a well-known television show. And knowing that it would appear on national television, my wife took great pains to see that everything looked nice. She had vacuumed and dusted and tidied up the whole house, but had gone over the living room with a fine-tooth comb, since that's where the interview was going to be filmed. When the film crew arrived with all the lights and cameras, she felt that everything in the living room was spick and span. We were there in place along with the interviewer when suddenly the television lights were turned on and we saw cobwebs and dust where we had never seen them before. In the words of my wife, I mean, that room was festooned with dust and cobwebs, which simply did not show up under ordinary light. And he goes on in his book and he makes this point. He says the point is, of course, no matter how well we clean up our lives and think we have them all in order, when we see ourselves in the light of God's word, in the light of God's holiness, all the cobwebs and dust do show up. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that true? See, so many times, you know, we think things are going well, and we're like, oh, yeah, I have nothing to confess. But if we put a spotlight on it, we see all those cobwebs. And we measure that up to God's word. And if you're in the word of God, like we've been talking about, we've talked about prayer, but also praying to God to reveal what you need to do and how to grow and have that willingness, but also open up the scriptures to kind of ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through that. And if you don't have anything to confess, then I'll be honest, and this is going to sound kind of blunt, but you're probably not reading the Word of God enough or not reading the Word of God, because this is confrontational sometimes. When you read the Word of God, it will confront your sin. It does. It's just a fact. It's just the way it is. God wants us to grow like him. And if we don't think that we have any cobwebs, then we need to open this up, because I'm telling you, it will tell you exactly where your cobwebs are. But the cool thing about confession is that confession is healing. When we confess as a regular practice, we grow tremendously toward spiritual maturity. It is a fact. See, I could pray all day long and grow. Yep, absolutely. I could be a prayer warrior. I know there's a few of them in here that love praying and they're prayer warriors. But then there's people that know the Word of God. They know it really well. But confession touches the soul in a way that's different than those two. Confession is healing. It heals our brokenness. We're saved by grace through faith, but we still have that baggage that we carry along into our salvation. Before we got saved, the moment I got saved, yes, God, Jesus did not look at me as a sinner anymore. It's his, what they call the propitiation of sin, his purity was in place of my sin. But I still walked into that relationship with a whole bunch of luggage. Some of us have, you know, like a Kardashian-sized luggage and baggage. You know, like all those fancy trunks and suitcases. That's me. I've had it for years. But luckily, I've unpacked it. Now I have a couple carry-ons, you know. But that's what God does, is as you go into a relationship with him, you have to confess so he can heal through that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But, you know, oftentimes it feels good to admit to, admit to our own brokenness and the things that we've done wrong and the people that have either we have hurt or been hurt by. You know, when we do that, when we confess, it feels like a weight has been lifted off our shoulders. It feels good to come clean. The practice of confession has been happening a long, long, long time It is nothing new. Take a look at Nehemiah. You know, this is a great story of it. It says, now in the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. See, this is a great picture of like a church coming together and these people, these Hebrew people that were separated from God. Nehemiah was asked the king to come, you know, to be able to go and restore Jerusalem, and God blessed them through this king, and he was able to go out and he's gathering these people. And the first things they did was to get on their knees and repent and just say, "Lord, we're a broken people." And that's what they just prayed and read from the law. Read from the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They just read from it and like prayed about it. And they confessed. See, the people of God acknowledging the wrongdoing while worshiping God together. This scene is a beautiful one as it comes on the heels of a long and difficult time of slavery and captivity and foreign powers like the Babylonians. The Israelites were broken and a scattered people, and they are seeking forgiveness and healing through this confession. It's an important part of the walk as we walk with God. You know, it takes a good measure of humility to admit you've been wrong, and yet healing comes after humility. And I think that's important to understand, you know, because humility is the first step toward confession. If I think I don't do anything wrong, if I think my doo-doo don't stink, then that's not really humble. If I don't think that I'm wrong ever, that's not humility. But when humility comes in is when we realize exactly where we're at in the world, exactly our brokenness. It's not putting us down. It's not sitting there saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm just a horrible person." It's understanding that God has created me to be to have a loving relationship with Him, and He knows everything about me, and He created me unique and wonderfully made. But at the same time, our sin has broken us and has severed us from Him, and understanding the perfect balance between the two. That's what humility really is. It's having confidence in God and what God created us, but also having humility and knowing that we're broken. It's a perfect balance between the two. Once you start going toward one or the other, you start having issues. If I start thinking I'm better than I am and I don't have nothing's wrong with me, then I'm lacking humility and I'm becoming prideful. If I don't acknowledge the wonderful side of what God has created me to be, then also that goes down. Then also I start getting really poor self-esteem and my image goes down. And I think I'm worthless and terrible because of all the bad things I think and do. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is this one. It says, it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." I love that verse. Now I have a whole sermon on just that verse alone, and maybe I'll preach that one day. Because it is one of my favorite messages to preach. It's one of my, I actually have a separate folder of like my favorites. Every time there's like three messages that I preach when I go out and visit other churches. This one I use for church revitalization because you know what? So many times churches decline because they don't humble themselves in His name and they don't pray, they don't seek His face. And so that's the message I have for a church that's declining. And so many times, and you know, this is talking about church, or this is what I'm talking about in the message. But you know, so many times, don't we do the same thing? We don't seek His face. We don't humble before Him. or we don't confess our sins, and then what happens? We start getting wrapped up in this, and we start struggling. You know, we don't want to admit it, and that's where that pride comes in. See, it takes a good measure of humility to admit that we've been wrong. And yet, healing comes after humility. Humility is key. Think about a time in your life when you were on either end of confession and healing, and think back on how amazing it felt to have that weight lifted off. Have you ever had a burden that you went to a friend that maybe you feel like you've sinned against them in some way, you've upset them, or you've done something, whatever it is, and then you go to them and you confess? You know there's kind of a rift between you, and you go and you're like, hey, you know what, I'm so sorry. I know I did this, and I don't know why I talked behind your back or gossiped about you. I don't know why I did whatever it was, and you apologize with just pure-heartedness and humility, and they say, you know what, it really hurt me, but I forgive you. You're my dearest friend. And then you just feel so much better. So much better. Now, of course, let's be realistic, that doesn't always happen, but it does feel good when you get that off your chest. And I'm also saying it's not always easy, but I do want to say it's a powerful thing to do. See, confessing our wrongs allows healing to happen, and healing is amazing. It's amazing when we heal from things. That's why I highlighted that. It's amazing. Can anybody say healing is amazing? You know, it is. It truly is. When you have a hurt knee, or you have a hurt body, or you have emotional struggles, whatever it may be, when you get that relief and that healing, oh, it feels so good. It really does. Healing is amazing. Our bodies and our mind and our souls can heal. Let's turn to James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. As we move toward confession, we find healing and freedom. And it's important to pray with one another. When you go and you confess, whether it's to the Lord himself or to another person, pray. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me heal from this. Help me communicate this effectively. Let the other person forgive me for their sake, not for my sake, but for theirs. It's important for us to invite God into the process and seek his guidance. Let's take a look at Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. What slavery is he talking about? Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. See, one thing that we got to remember is that, yes, we are saved. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are saved. But again, there's that process of growing from the moment we get saved to more Christ-like until the day we pass away and are in heaven. That is the goal. That is what we're here for, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and worship him and then disciple other people through evangelism and discipleship. That's really the core of the Christian life. And as we have sin comes into our lives, it's like we have a disconnect. God looks at that and goes, nah, you need to confess that. Are we right for God? If I have sin in my life today and I die, do I go to heaven? Yes, I go to heaven. I'm forgiven of my sin. But to grow to more Christ-like behavior and to have a more Christ-like personality and emotions and to be able to get through this life, confession is part of that. Why? Because it offers healing and freedom, and we learn from it. See, confession is healing, and healing is liberating. See, confession and forgiveness set you free from the past sin and wrongdoing. We already know what that's like as we came to a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we got on our knees that one time, that first time, and said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. We already know what that means. God knew we weren't right. And we needed a Savior. We needed Jesus' help to shine a light on our need for him and the sins that we had in our lives. And that humility came from that. Every single one of us that's made that confession of faith, at one point, we came to it the same way. We got on our knees somehow. Or we humbled ourselves before God and said, I need you. We all got there the same way. There's only one way. And Jesus came and set us free. Take a look at 1 John 1, 5 through 10. It says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are living, or so we are lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness, we are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, the Son, or his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But a great verse right here, verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. See, he forgives our sin the moment we get saved, but he also cleans us. So when God the Father looks down, he sees Jesus instead of our sin. Man, that's beautiful. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Take a look at this again. Let's go back. It's not a matter of if you sin or do wrongdoing in your life. It's really just a fact. The matter is are you bringing it to Jesus, bringing it to the light? Forgiveness happens in the light, meaning light being Christ itself. When we could ask for forgiveness and we bring it before him and we say, Lord, I did this, and be specific, we're like, I did this. And you might not even know how to really word it, but you just kind of open your hearts and your minds to it and you say, Lord, I know that I have sinned. And I don't quite understand why is a sin or what it did or whatever you want to say. I'm all about just being totally transparent to God. He already knows you. He already knows what you've done. But it's up to us to confess that so we can recognize what we have done. We're the broken individuals. We're the ones that need that confession. You know, how many times have you gone to a friend or a family member and said, hey, I got to move my rear end a little. Sorry. How many times have we gone to an individual, a friend, that we've wronged somewhere, or we know that there's some conflict, but we don't really know what happened? Has anybody ever had that? It's like, you know, I know somebody's irritated with me, but I don't know why. I know I've had it. Anybody else have had that? Come on, let's show a hand. Anybody? One, two. Yeah, thank you. And then you go to them and you go, hey, you know what? I know that there's something not right between us. And then they tell you what you did. And you're like, I didn't realize I did that. I'm so sorry. And then that relationship gets mended, hopefully. But what does it also do? That confession also teaches you a lesson about yourself, that maybe you can be a little too crass or something, or maybe there's something that you have a tendency to do that you didn't recognize in yourself. And then that person tells you that you hurt their feelings or upset them, and they communicate that to you, and you just, the light bulb goes on. It's like, I never realized I did that. I'm not going to ask if anybody's experienced that, but I have. I used to go to Jenny all the time because there'd be like little moments where I thought, I don't know if I was right in my head in that, you know? And I would go to her and I'd be like, I said this to your sister. Was that mean? And she was like, yeah, that kind of was. And I love her sister, Stephanie. Like, I adore her. Wonderful lady. But there was times where I put my foot in my mouth, I would say something kind of harsh, and I did not even know that I was being harsh. But luckily, I had Jenny, who was 100% opposite of me, and I would go to her and say, hey, I don't know if I did this wrong or if I was mean. And that's how you learn. That's how we learn. God uses other people in your life to help you grow through that confession, but you got to be humble about it. Recognize that you aren't perfect. Only Jesus is. And just talk about it. Say, hey, you know what? I think I was kind of being a grouch earlier. And then somebody says, I didn't notice it. Oh, good. You know, sometimes that can be beneficial. The point is to communicate it and to talk about it. Now, no matter what it is, big or small, the transgression may seem to you, I can say with full confidence that Christ is able and willing to forgive you. And we have to confess those sins on a regular basis. Because last verse say? If we claimed we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. The reality is that we all have, and we need to open our mouths more and communicate those things and those struggles. And guess what also happens? If I'm very transparent about my struggles, what happens with the people around me? They learn how to do that too. And they also learn what forgiveness is. They also know how to be around somebody that maybe puts their foot in their mouth and they still love them, like Jenny did with me. Let's take a look at this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I have no comment about it. That's one of those verses that completely stand alone. It's pretty simple. That's what it means to be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Beautiful verses. Confession is healing. Healing is liberating. And liberating equals freedom. I want to say again, confession isn't easy, but it is so powerful. There's a reason it's counted as one of the core pillars of the faith. It's easy. And it's easy to see why that's true if you simply refer back to Romans and 1 John, those verses we looked at a few minutes ago. I want to share a story as we close, or we're getting close to closing this message. I want to share a story about Taylor University President Jay Kessler once told of sitting with a young man, sitting with a young man who was raised as an orphan. And this young man told about it. Jay Kessler once told of sitting with a young man who told him about his father who had been raised as an orphan. When he had children of his own, he didn't seem to know how to handle them. He would alternatively ignore them and discipline them in fits of anger. One day, after a particularly embarrassing loss of temper, the father put his head in his hands and with desperation in his voice said, "Son, you do not understand. I have never had a father. I have never seen how fathers do it. I feel totally helpless. I do not know how to be a parent. I want to be a good parent, but I don't know how. Help me." The boy took his father in his arms, and the two wept together, and from that point on, his son and his dad became the closest of friends. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you don't have to itemize all your sins in your life. You just go to him and say and acknowledge that you're a sinner. That's the first key. If you've accepted Jesus Christ and you follow Jesus, that's all you need to know to share the gospel with other people. Just acknowledge you're a sinner. They need forgiveness. Those of us that are saved, if there's a specific sin lingering in your life, at the forefront in your mind, if we sit here and in this message and you're thinking of a particular sin in your life that you're kind of embarrassed by, or it's triggering some emotion, and like you don't want to share it, bring it to Jesus. I do encourage people to have at least one person in their lives, an accountability partner, a prayer partner, a confession partner that will hold that in and will not share that with other people. Think of it like a sponsor or a mentor, somebody that you can go to and talk about these things and they just, you just pray about it and you let it go and it just, and you give it to God together. That's not always the case. We can't always have that. But if you do, awesome, utilize it. If you don't, pray. Bring it to Christ. Spend time with him. If you've sinned against anyone, go to them and ask for forgiveness. Humbly, use I statement. I am sorry. I feel that I offended you. Or I don't understand what I did, but I want to make amends. Those are kinds of things. Don't do accusations. Don't do you statement. Well, you did this and it made me do that. That's not how it works. Confession is humility, and you go before them and you say, I am sorry. That's what confession is. See, it is Jesus. Jesus is reason we can find freedom and healing and forgiveness. He is the reason why we even have the ability to learn and grow. He doesn't just save us and leave. He is in our lives on a regular basis. And so I encourage you every day to give up your sins to him and pray and learn and allow him to teach you to grow more like Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our time together. And as we prepare our hearts to worship you, I ask and I pray that each and every one of us, as we, if we have sins or things in our lives right now that we're struggling with, maybe something that we feel that we need to confess, but we have a hard time with that. I ask you, Lord, to reveal that to each of us and let us have the courage to bring it to you. You know, any sin in our lives right now that we're aware of, as we worship together, bring that to you. Just in our minds, just pray and release that to you and ask you for forgiveness. Father God, as we go about our weeks and months and our time, as we do interact with other people, we will offend and we will do things that maybe hurt other people or sins. Father God, help us to be aware of that. Reveal it to our minds so we can confess those things quickly. And make peace with people and make peace with you. Father God, we love you so much and we praise you and we just want to grow more like you. And we just are so grateful to have you in our lives. And thank you for having that willingness to listen to our confessions. You're not some distant God, but you listen and you provide guidance, sometimes comfort, sometimes conviction, but you're there. And that's an amazing thing, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If I can have a